seated. Isn't God an awesome God? I want to welcome everyone here to Cross Creek and special day, friend day. There's visitor packets back on the table if you don't have one already, and just avail yourself to them. This morning we're going to be looking at a real friend. I would say we probably all have a lot of friends, don't we? We like to say we have friends, and we're going to be looking at a real friend. What's a real friend look like? God tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and have no one to help him up. Friendship, relationships, having a friend is very, very critically important today, as it was in the past. In a study that was a business study that was conducted a few years ago, more than 2,000 employers, they were asked a question, and the question they asked was this: for the last three persons that was dismissed from your business, why did you let them go? The pollsters were surprised by the results because they found that two out of every three fired employees, regardless of the type of business, regardless of the region of the country in America, they were dismissed for the very same reason. They couldn't get along with other people. Relationships truly involves other people. They either make us or break us. We can have good relationships that will absolutely help your life to flourish, but we can also have a relationship that is not too good for us that'll take us down the wrong way. Relationships are critical. We must learn how to have good relationships to be successful in life, to get along with other people. See, getting along with other people is not easy. It's a very hard and difficult subject, and it's hard work to work it through. A nagging spouse, we all have some sometimes, don't we? You might want to say that. I know Heidi's here laughing at Chris. A nagging spouse. How about a grumpy boss? Do you ever encounter a grumpy boss? Yeah, I see a lot of smiles out there. Yeah, yes, a lot of grumpy bosses. But many people, oftentimes, as we go through life, they will opt out of those relationships because of the difficult times that they are confronted with. See, real friends are not accidental. They don't just happen. They're made, they're developed, they're planned, they're built. It takes years and years and years to develop them. In fact, a large study at the University of Michigan found that a lack of social relationships, that's friendships, a lack of friendships. So if you are here and you don't have hardly any friends, and if you don't have a real good social network around you, it is statistically just as dangerous by not having friends, a lot of them, statistically just as dangerous as smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and a lack of exercise. And while high blood pressure was related to several diseases, lack of friendship was tied to a much wider range of diseases. In other words, it was found that having real friends was literally life-saving and life-changing. It even, the study even went on to say that even getting a pet or a little fish will even help. Okay? Do you have a little goldfish at home? That helps you to stay healthy. Very important. Ask pet owners. They asked some pet owners, they were asked why would they, you know, who would they would choose if they were stranded on a deserted island somewhere. 46% of the people chose to meet and have another person there with them. 46%. 54% says, I would rather have a dog or a cat or some other pet. I'm not sure what's banging here, but I didn't think it was me. And yet today, oftentimes, we are becoming more and more lonely. We have a thing, you know, you have your iPhones and your iPods and all the various computers and Facebook and MySpace and IM and instant messages and chats and forums and all the various things on the computer. But I tell you what, we are connecting so well together technologically. But guess what's happening? We're disconnecting relationally. We are becoming, and so sometimes, oftentimes, we don't talk to somebody, but we will text them. And you know, when you text somebody, how it's so cold and harsh and hard sometimes, and they take the wrong the wrong bent because you can't, you, when you communicate, you use so much of your body language to communicate. And so oftentimes loneliness is really a growing problem in America, in our society. In fact, recent research says that the number one emotional problem in America, emotional problem, is the problem of loneliness. 70% more people live alone today than they did 20 years ago. And in fact, a study that was conducted by the American Council of Life Insurance, they reported that the loneliest group in America is surprisingly, I was surprised at this, is college students. They're the most lonely group in America. The second loneliest is divorced people. The third one is welfare recipients, single moms, rural students, and housewives, and then the elderly. That's the breakdown, the order. See, we are living in a society today that is called the throwaway society, or the throwaway relationships. Because if a relationship doesn't work, let's just get out of it. And so it's very easy. And so the divorce rates are high, and the connection with people is splintered every which way. If the relationships don't work, if friendships don't work, guess what? We can just very quickly and easily today opt out. So consequently, we are lonely. And we go down the tubes as far as relationships. We get into a failed one and fail another one, and this friend let me down, and this friend let me down, and all of a sudden I can't have a build a relationship, and all of a sudden quit. Throw our hands up, and we just buy ourselves a goldfish and watch him swim around that little tank at home. There are three truths about friends that if you have your study guide, you can follow along very quickly. The three truths, number one is friends are essential. They're not optional. They're essential. They're essential and not optional. Understand that when God created man, he made man for relationships. Not only did God create man to have a relationship with himself, but he made man to have relationships and friendships with people around us. We need to understand that it is essential. And to be successful, to be significant, have significance of life, is to have friends and be connected with people and to be in a relationship. And the ultimate one is with the Lord, as you're going to see. But friends are essential. They're not optional. And so, number two is friends are cultivated. They're not automatic. You don't just automatically start to have friends. Friends are intentionally made. You got to go out and be a friend before you can have friends. It's a growth process that we grow and grow and grow. They're cultivated. And thirdly, another truth to understand about friends is friends are impactors, not passive. Friends, true friends, are difference makers. They will impact the lives of other people. Oftentimes, your life, and you say you have a close friend. Well, if you are close friends, are you impacting your other close friends? And the scripture tells us about iron sharpens iron. So one friend will sharpen another friend. And so iron, as we sharpen one another, we must understand that true friends are impactors. True friends will make a difference in other people's lives. They won't sit back and be passive and just sort of like, lackadaisical everything. How would you describe a real friend? If you were to sort of analyze your life and analyze your friends and try to bring it all down to a lowest common denominator, what would your friend look like? What would they look like? How would they act? What would they say? What would they do in certain circumstances? How would you describe your friend? We're going to look at real friends this morning, and there's a few points I want us to see. But the first one is a real friend is someone who can be counted on. They're dependable. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, God says here we must be dependable, and there is a friend who will stick closer than a brother. Sometimes you can have friends that are closer than your physical brothers or sisters around you in your own family. You might be closer to somebody. But we see the one that sticks closer than a brother is none other than the Lord himself, and we're going to see. But for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. See, when the chips are down, you will know who your real friends are. When everyone's turning their back on you, you will know who's standing in your corner. They'll be there. They'll be close to you. And oftentimes we go through life and we feel like everyone deserted us. We feel like, man, we go through life and all the friends that I had, I don't have no more friends. And man, I don't know, I can't depend on anybody. You ever feel like all your friends left you? All alone in this great big world? UCL, a football team, they suffered through a very poor season in the early 70s. And the head coach at the time was Pepper Rogers, and he came under intense criticism and pressure from alumni and fans. It almost sounds like Joe Paterno today. A lot of people, I'm hearing a lot more of it. You know, come on, why aren't we getting a winner team out here at Penn State? And, you know, the intense pressure, it builds and builds and builds. Well, things got so bad that Pepper Rogers, he remembers with a smile that friends became very, very, very hard to find. He said, my dog was my only true friend. And then Pepper Rogers went on to say, and it says of that year, he says, I went home, he says, I told my wife that every man needs at least two good friends, honey. We need two good friends. His wife went out and bought him another dog. She even wasn't his friend. God says there is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. He'll be there. They'll be there for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Far, far too often we will let our friends down. Far, far too often our friends will let us down. And they have proven their undependability. They just really aren't dependable. But I tell you what, God says that I will never let you down. I'll be there for you. You can depend on me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Can you imagine having a friend like that? A friend that the Lord himself that says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm in your corner. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to be there for you. All you have to do is just follow me, obey me, be there. Be in that relationship with me. And as you foster that relationship with him, I tell you what, God then starts to handle all the relationships around you. It's a beautiful thing. The Lord is a friend who can be counted on. He never changes. And he's madly devoted and faithfully devoted to you. You look at the dependability of God. Anytime when we lose our friends, we can run to him. And 24/7, we can come before him in prayer. Call upon me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. You know, is there anything too hard for the Lord? We have so many hard things in our life. So many things in our life that we struggle with and fight with. And these big, huge hurdles that we have to hurdle ourselves over and climb over this thing and climb over that thing. And man, I tell you what, life gets weary. But understand, you have a friend that's going to be right there with you, that's going to be dependable, that's going to be there. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So a real friend is dependable. But secondly, a real friend is someone you can look up to as an example. Very important to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, God says, don't be misled. Don't be confused. Don't go down the wrong track because bad company corrupts good character. Oh, boy, we could camp out on this for a long time, but it's very important to see that. Bad company corrupts good character. Over in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, says a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. If we stop and analyze our lives, stop and look at your life and start to analyze who's your friends around you. Are they good? Are they an example? Are they an example to you for something for better? Or are you running with people that are taking you down? See, a righteous man, a righteous woman is cautious in friendship. Be cautious who you call your friends. Be cautious of who you sort of buddy up with. Very important to understand that bad people can tear you down and rip you down. Bad company corrupts good character. You might be a great person of God and walk with him. And I tell you what, your character is good. But I'll tell you, if you're running with the people that's bad in their character and their integrity is not very good, I tell you what, you're going to start doing just like they're doing. You want to fly with eagles, you don't run with the turkeys. You fly with the eagles. Get away from the turkeys. And some of you might have friends right now in your life that you start to, you need to sever the ties. You know they're bad news. They're leading you astray. You're leading you away from righteousness. They're destroying your character. Get away. Be careful. Hang out with people is going to build you up. hung out with people is going to be a good role model for you. We see there's three levels of relationships, A, B, and C. A level is the acquaintance level. I know you, you know me. It's very superficial. The B level is the brotherly love level, the brotherly level. That's the deeper level that I know what you're all about and you know what I'm all about. And we go a little bit deeper. I know where you live. Maybe we hang out now and then, but that's the B level. But then the C level is the close level. And the close level, that's where there's intimacy. That's where there's connection. That's where there's vulnerability. That's where we become vulnerable with each other. And that's where we become open with one another. See, that C level is where friendship should be at. It's down there that we earn the right to talk, and they earn the right to talk, and we can share, and we're vulnerable. It's not the facade that we put on around us. We're vulnerable. We can truly depend on one another's words, what they say. And at this deeper level, that's where you begin to know other people, and that's where other people begin to know you in a deeper way. Oftentimes in Celebrate Recovery, we have, you know, part of the recovery process is meeting in the large group, but then you go into small groups. In those small groups, that's when you let your hair hang down. That's when you start to connect, and maybe some words are said, but it's all in confidence. It's all good. And that's where the healing starts to happen. That's where God starts to really work and show up, when we start to become authentic and real, to take our false faces off, to become a true friend, that deep, close level. See, character, the character of our friends, it does rub off. We've heard a lot of stories about birds of a feather will flock together. Or one bad apple will spoil the whole basket, and it's so true. And so the people you hang with, the people who you are calling your so-called friends, and yet oftentimes, oh, my best buddies, my best friends, and we're running and running and running and doing, and it might be shady on our character side. It might be shady and as far as sin is concerned. It might be shady on a lot of things, but, it's fun. It's good. But all of a sudden, when the chips are really down on your end and you need a good friend and you go to your good buddy, they aren't there. But I'll tell you who is there. It's the Lord. See, when the chips are down, he is there. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. But he is the example. He healed the blind and he caused the lame to walk. We see so many examples of the Lord Jesus. And everything he said, it was perfect. He had no sin. Can you imagine living with somebody or being around somebody that never sinned? He never sinned. He never had bad thoughts, or he never swore at somebody. He never lost his temper. He's the perfect example. See, he is a good character. You hang around Jesus, and I tell you what, your character will start to change like his. You hang out the turkey, you change your character like the turkeys. I want to fly with eagles. Get up there. See, it's very important. Jesus was despised. People hated him. He was despised. They called him a friend of the tax collectors and a friend of the sinners and a friend of the prostitutes. Yeah. He was a friend of everybody. He was a friend of the fishermen. He was a friend of the people of the world around him that day, the rich young rulers. I mean, he was friends. And I tell you what, he did not ever compromise his integrity, but he stood strong. He stood true. He is our example. Follow me, Paul says, as I follow Christ. Amen. In other words, even though Paul, he's human, he's flesh. Me, I'm human, I'm flesh. But I tell you what, as we follow Christ, you follow me. And that's what Paul was saying, and that's very important. The dependability, the example. Also, thirdly, is a real friend is not only dependable and they set the example, but also is someone who is loyal to you. Someone that you can trust. That trust factor is very important. Do you trust your friends? Do the friends that really matters to you, can you trust them? Can you sit down and share your deepest concerns with your friends, or your struggles, or your hurts, or your pains with your friends? And after you share that, can you trust them? The Lord says this in Proverbs 27:6. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. But an enemy, what does he do? He multiplies kisses. He's all over you with kisses. But the wounds of a friend is going to be there. You can trust it. But yet the enemy will be all over, and you know, it looks like on the outside is going to be really good, but they don't have anything there. It can't be trusted. What we see is trust, very important. See, a real friendship has an absolute honesty and an openness without being offended. When someone says something to you, do you become offensive? God tells us in Proverbs 16:28, it says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip, he separates close friends. See, a real good friend, a real friend, does not go around talking about you. God says a gossip will betray friendships. In fact, I heard through the grapevine that Bill had an illustration over there in junior church or in the C4 Kids. And he had children come up and take toothpaste, I think, Bill, right? And they squeezed out some toothpaste. And this is some gossip. And so you squeeze out some of that toothpaste, and all of a sudden you squeeze out a little bit more, put it around on a pan or wherever, however you did it. But I think, wow, what a good illustration. Okay, and so you say things in a gossipy manner, and all of a sudden it goes out. But once those words goes out, guess what? Those words are out there. You can't pull those words back. You can't take them back. That's why it's weighty. That's why you have to be cautious of what you say. Be swift to hear, but slow to speak. And good friends are going to be slow to speak. But once that toothpaste comes out, all that gossip comes out, all of a sudden you say, okay, we'll take that gossip and put it back in the tube. And then I guess the children pick that up and try to push it and push it back into a tube of toothpaste, and guess it didn't work, did it? What an illustration. And God says a gossip betrays friendship. If you have a friend, then be one. You don't go around talking about them. Be a friend. Don't be the town gossip. Amen? Be a friend. They're dependable, and you can trust them. You can trust them at the sea level with your intimacy as far as understanding. They know your heart. They know what makes you tick. Very important. It's a two-way street of listening and sharing with your friends. And oftentimes, some friends will say, well, I'm your friend, but a friend will dish it out. And they're very good on dishing it all out. Well, Gladys, you didn't make that chili quite right. You should have put this in that and dish it all out. And then all of a sudden, Gladys said, well, you know, well, in your chili, you should have maybe put a little more hamburger in it. What are you talking about? People are really good in dishing it out, but they're not very good in taking it in it. Right? Can't you see it? And it's always that way. To be a friend, you must show yourself friendly. See, and you won't have a lot of friends if you aren't an outgoing, friendly person. You'll just sort of timid and shy or whatever the reason, but you're set back and you just, I don't want to go there. I'll hang back. To be a friend, you must show yourself friendly. You start being that friend. Start going out. Start making it happen. Building trust. Communication within a home or within a relationship is very critically important. Amen, isn't it? Communication, that two-way street. Sometimes dishing it out, but we can't receive it back. Two-way communication, very important in any relationship. I read about a farmer that walked into the office of a lawyer in a small South Carolina town. And his farmer walked into the lawyer's office, and the lawyer says, may I help you? Well, the farmer says, yeah. He says, I need to get one of these there divorces. Well, do you have any grounds? Asked the lawyer. Oh, yeah, the farmer answered. I got me 140 acres. No, you don't understand, said the lawyer. I mean, do you have a case? Oh, no, I don't have a case. I got a John Deere and a Massey Ferguson. No, you still don't have an understanding here. He says, I mean, do you have a grudge? Yeah, I got a grudge. That's where I parked my John Deere in. No, sir, I'm sorry, you still don't seem to understand. I need to know if you have a suit. Well, yes, sir, I wear it to church every Sunday. We don't seem to be getting anywhere here, said the lawyer. Sir, does your wife beat you up? No, we both get up about 4:30 a.m. every morning. And now the lawyer is getting a little frustrated, and so the lawyer starts to step back, and he says, Why do you want a divorce or to divorce your wife? Well, said the farmer, can't never have no meaningful conversation with her. Ain't that the fact? Isn't that the truth? We don't communicate. This poor farmer is having a hard time communicating with everybody around him. See, a real friend looks out for you. A real friend cares about you. A real friend will share deepest secrets. There'll be a trust. Be grateful for the relationships you have. John chapter 14, the Lord in verse 1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Jesus said, you want trust? You put your trust in other men. You put trust in other people around you. You put your trust in me. He said, then he goes on, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go there and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. We live in a troubled world. And the reason we live in such a troubled world with relationships and problems all around us is because of the sin nature of man. You know that. Deep in your heart, you know what's going on in your life. You know what's going on in lives in your family and around you and your spouses. And you understand it. You see it. It's called the sin nature. That is the reason why Jesus Christ, God's Son, perfect one, perfect example, came to die on a cross. Shed his blood in order to pay the penalty for the sin, for your sin and for mine, that you and I could not pay. He was perfect. He was a sinless one. And so once we understand this, Jesus said, you know, you trust in God. Well, oftentimes people will say, oh, I believe in God. But then Jesus goes on and said, believe also in me. Trust also in me. See, Jesus is not just a way to heaven among a whole lot of ways up on this earth, but yet often we go through life thinking, in our culture today especially, that there's all kinds of different avenues to find God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's what he's talking about here. He said, I'm going there and prepare a place for you, and because I'm going, I'm going to come back again. You trust in God, you trust in me too. You can place your total trust in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, the perfect one who lived his life perfect on this earth. You can trust him. You can place your trust and full confidence in him. See, marriages are falling apart. Friendships are falling apart. Personal lives are falling apart. We need to put a trust in the Lord Jesus. He's not falling apart. And we can trust him no matter what's going on in our life. He's stable. He's strong. He's committed to you. He's in love with us in a powerful way. That friend is in Jesus. So a real friend is dependable. A real friend sets the example. A real friend is someone you can trust, but also, fourthly, is someone that builds up and not tears down. It's an encourager. Over in Proverbs 27:17, is iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Real friends build each other up. They stimulate each other to grow. True friends will sharpen one another. Very important to realize that. They motivate, they encourage us. Real friends affirm each other. They make me feel important. You know, sometimes when you get in a conversation with another friend, it's all about them. It's all about their world, their agenda, their conversation. It's all about them, and they don't care anything about you. How's your conversation with other people? Maybe because your conversation is all about you, that's why you have no relationships. And your friends are sort of like, can't find very many. They know you, but no one wants to be close to you because it's all about you. See, once we start to talk to our friends, if we start to inquire about them and start to ask them questions about their lives and what's going on in their life, all of a sudden people will talk. People will light up because people want to share. And then you start to share and you get to grow that encouragement with one another. John chapter 7, verse 38, it says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him. Oftentimes we go through life struggling with dead-end relationships. And those dead-end relationships quite often is found because people sucks us dry. And we have nothing more in our spiritual tanks in here to ever give out. We've been sucked dry. You know some folks that will just absolutely suck you to death. And you have nothing else. Be an encourager. Be the one that builds up people. Be the one that people want to be around you because you're just positive. You're an encouragement. You are a giver. Not a taker all the time, but a giver. And building that relationship. See, Jesus said, if you put your faith in me, then I'm going to fill you that you'll be overflowing from within. And you will be strong and you will be strengthened. You will be encouraged by him. See, Jesus is our encourager. He is our strength. He is the one that's going to build us up. And see, the people around us will let us down. You know that. You've been let down. And I've been let down. And you might have let people down yourself. But understand that Jesus will never let us down. And he is the one that will fill you up. And he's the one that will give you the strength. He'll fill you so much that you'll just start to be that fountain that flows around you. That's pouring out. That's just living water for folks around you. You'll be filled up. But boy, I tell you what, when you get Jesus, I tell you what, you'll just become that new creature in him. Flowing, powerful and strong. A real friend. That's a real friend. A real friend, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we grow weary in battling, grow weary in searching for a real friendship and relationship out there. And our hopes are dashed over and over and over again. See, Jesus is our real friend, and he bids us to come to him to find true rest for our souls. And he'll be there. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He is there. He is always in your camp. He is there for you. So he's a friend that's dependable, and he's the one that's the example, the perfect example. You can trust him. He's there to encourage and lift you up and help you. And then number five is a real friend is someone who befriends you as is. That's acceptance. God tells us that wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. Isn't it nice to know or understand that God accepts us right where we are? God doesn't not say anywhere at all in Scripture, you go clean your act up, get your life going straight, get rid of this drug addiction over here, or get your life living more over here, and then you come follow me. You don't find it anywhere. He just says, you come follow me. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to make you a new you. And then you're going to become a brand new person, and you're going to be my friend. What a deal. But oftentimes we search for friendship for what we can get out of the deal. Wealth brings many friends. Who's going to give me money? Dan, you're going to loan me some $100 today? I ain't going to be your friend. So we place conditions on it. See it? There's no conditions placed on God's riches. I read about Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes was worth approximately $4 billion. That's what it'd be, $4 billion. And he said this, quote, I'd give it all for one good friend. What good is wealth if we don't have anything else? Life abundant and life eternal. A good friend. Be real. See, if someone who befriends you, they befriend you as is. You don't have to put a false face on. I read a story, this girl was in the Persian Gulf in the army. And she wrote a letter to her mother in the letter, and this is a quote from her letter. And here's what she said in the letter. It says, quote, Mom, I've seen a fellow here I'd really like to get to know, but they won't let us wear makeup, so he doesn't have any idea what I really looks like. Be you. You can't be me. Be who God made you. God handcrafted you. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Be who you are. God accepts us with our wrinkles and our warts and our funny little snickers and laughs. He accepts us. He loves us. We're accepted in the beloved, and it's understand that he loves us intimately. Understand. Don't try to manipulate friendships. befriending to get something from them. John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. We live in a world that is not very good. Destroys, it's out to destroy your life and your relationships. Sin is prevalent everywhere you go. But thank God that He is holy and just, and He desires us to come to Him. He said, I'll never drive you away, whoever comes to me. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. See, Jesus accepts us just as we are. Understand that. No matter what your station in life is, no matter where, what age you are, right now, He's waiting to accept you as His friend. Do you know Him? We've been a whole lot of detour, dead-end relationships and friendships. The friendship with Christ never changes. It's real. See, He gives eternal life. A real friend is also, number six, is someone who unconditionally is committed to you. And that's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is unconditionally committed to accept you and me right where we are. In our state of affairs, He knows everything about our life. And He still wants us to be His friend. Whew, that's powerful. It's amazing. That grace of God loves us at times, not just at good times, but a real friend will be there no matter what, because they love you and they're committed to you unconditionally. The greatest love is found in Christ. And that's found in John 15. It says, do you have this type of a friend? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for his, what? Friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. See, that relationship that God created us for is real and vital, and it's only found in Christ. Jesus sees and knows everything about me and about you, and He still desires to be my friend. In fact, He's waiting for you to open your door of your heart. He wants me to be His friend, and He desires to be my friend. That's an amazing truth that's taught throughout the Word of God. Do you know Him? Are you a friend of God? The real friend. Jesus is the best friend you could ever have. He's the best friend you can ever have. Well, how do you become His friend? First, you need to recognize the need. Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only way. Recognize your need. Secondly, is accept His incredible love. And then thirdly, invite Him to come into your life. That's how you do it. You say, well, I'm religious. You can be religious and lost. It's a relationship, not religion. Relationship that's real. Jesus said in Revelation 3, He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And I believe it's a reference even to the door right of our hearts, very easily. That Jesus knocks on the door of our heart. I do not know anything that's in your life or in your hearts, but God does. And He is able to knock on our heart's door, and He talks to us. He talks to us by His Spirit. You know when He's speaking. You know when He's knocking. Sometimes it's loud, sometimes it's faint and soft. If we're hard and sin and in this world, it might be softer. But deep down in our hearts, we know that it's God talking to us. We know that's God speaking to our hearts. It's not Dave Martin up here standing. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that moves among us. And the Lord Jesus, He says this, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with Him and He with me. Jesus wants to come in and be a real friend to you. One that'll be there for you no matter what. One that's in your corner. One that accepts you with all of your idiosyncrasies with love. Do you know him? Is he your friend? Let's bow together in prayer. As our heads